CNF Radio Productions presents Attorney for Defense, starring Michael Raffetto.
Is the state ready?
Ready, Your Honor.
And the defense?
Ready for the defense, Your Honor.
Case of murder. Not a pretty subject. In fact, little of what you're about to hear is pretty. Even Jonathan Brixton, criminal lawyer, isn't, he's not a conventional hero at all. Brixton is a sardonic bachelor who has seen much of life and found it wanting. He lives in San Francisco in a big old house overlooking the bay. His Chinese cook, Fong, sees that Brixton doesn't drink too much. Makes him go to bed fairly early, at least one night a week. Last night wasn't one of those nights, and Brixton is still home this afternoon. His office is accustomed to Fong calling to say his master is indisposed. After all, Miss Matthews is a very capable secretary.
No, I'm sorry. Mr. Brixton won't be in the office today.
But you see, it's terribly important that I talk to him.
I'll be glad to make an appointment for tomorrow morning.
That may be too late. In fact, it will be too late. I've got to see him today.
His assistant is here. Would you care to...
No. Brixton. Jonathan Brixton, please. Can't you tell me where I could get in touch with him?
Well, I'm afraid not.
My dear young lady, this is a matter of life and death. What's his home phone number?
I'm sorry, it's a private number. I'm not permitted to give it out.
Look here. If you don't help me, you may be directly responsible for murder.
But I don't understand. Murder?
That's right. And do you know who the person is that will be killed?
Oh, no. No, of course not.
Me. Me. Charles Stewart Grant. Now will you call Brixton?
Hello. Mr. Brixton not home. No. He... Who? Oh, Mr. Matthews. I know your voice right away. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Him here. He bad boy last night. Me calling. Mr. Brixton. Just a minute. I get him. He asleep on a couch. Mr. Brixton. Here, you wake up. A phone.
Go away.
Officer call, Mr. Matthew call on a phone.
Tell him I'm not home, Fong.
Officer, Mr. Matthew say important. You get up. You sleep enough. No good.
You're tired. Bring the phone here, Fong.
So you feel better, you go bed night.
You're worse than having a wife.
Yeah. You talk.
Hello, Miss Matthews. Quite all right. Yes, I worked rather late last night.
That's a funny kind of work, I don't know.
Yes. You there now? It sounds kind of crazy. Hasn't been drinking, has he? Let's see. All right, let me talk to him. Hello, yes, this is Brixton. Well, my dear fellow, I'm an attorney, not a policeman. Yes, I understand that, but what you need is the police if you fear for your life. I know. My assistant is there. He can take care of that. What? Well, then just take a plain piece of paper and in your own writing put a date on it and say how you want to dispose of your property and sign it. That's a holographic will and perfectly good. Yeah. Well, you call the police. I'm sorry, my good man. I can't help it if you're killed. In fact, I'm beginning to feel that I'd rather welcome it. Goodbye. Fong, bring me a brandy. My head is splitting.
Shall me make you some nice hot tea? Maybe a little toast?
Yes, fine, but first a touch of brandy, huh? My throat's a little on the dry side.
No brandy. Nice hot tea.
The issue is joined. I say brandy, you say tea. Now, who's to be the judge? In the absence of my physician, I shall prescribe for myself. Brandy, neat.
What time you want a dinner?
What time is it now?
So, almost 5 o'clock. We have a dinner at 6 o'clock.
Very good. Why don't you call the office and have James come over and have dinner with me? I'm lonesome.
Is your wife get mad? She think you keep him out too many nights.
How do you know that?
He hear talk on the phone last week. He say, no can help. He say, you boss. She mad, I know.
Amazing. What makes women so unreasonable?
Marcia phone your dear.
You think I should call her? I see what you're thinking, that I'll end up by going out to some bistro with James and his wife will say I've led him astray.
Me don't say nothing.
Oh, I know, being inscrutable. But look here, Fong. James needs to see more of the world. How can he expect to be a successful trial lawyer unless he knows life? Why, you can buy bright young fellows who can look up the law by the dozens. They come cheap. But the man who can detect the weak point in a witness's testimony, and lead him gently into the trap and then spring it relentlessly. There you have the artist. It's the difference between Leonardo da Vinci and the man who paints a cover on a popular magazine. Have I convinced you?
Me go make a hot tea.
Well, what about calling James for dinner?
Just think maybe you better call a wife to come, too.
Oh, Fong, she's so dull. She talks about recipes. James at least listens.
All right, me call. Me tell him come.
I think you've made a wise decision. Yes, we'll have James for dinner, and I shall send his wife a lovely gift. And now, a touch of brandy.
And no brandy.
I see. Then make the tea strong. Sit there, James. I think you'll find that chair comfortable.
Yeah. Certainly feel relaxed. Yes, it's that wine we had for dinner.
That was my last bottle of Romani Conti, and I hope you observed the date on it. 29, no less.
Is the date of it important?
You're not a stupid man, James.
No, sir, I hope not.
Then don't ask stupid questions. Won't you have one of these cigars? Excellent.
No, thank you. They smell wonderful when you smoke them, but cigars always make me dizzy. I think I'd better be going. I promised my wife I'd be home right after
dinner. But it's early, James. It just struck 9. I was thinking you might like to drop over to the club. We could have a brandy and then... Well, I could think of something that would be diverting.
Thank you, but I don't think we'd better. You should get to bed early. Miss Matthews said you had several engagements in the morning.
You know, I've been thinking about Matthews lately. There's a fine girl. Very deceptive in appearance. Behind those atrocious glasses she wears is a very attractive person. Beautiful legs, James. Beautiful. Horribly efficient, though, isn't she?
You'd hate her if she weren't, sir. No, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. As a secretary, perhaps, but for the moment I was evaluating her as a woman. And there's a... Good heavens, who's that?
Oh, doorbell, isn't it?
Yes, but I'm not expecting anyone. Oh, there you are, Fong.
You expect somebody?
No. Wait till James and I step into the library here so we won't be seen. Tell whoever it is that I'm not at home.
Yeah, might be Missy. I tell Fong Coyote. What do me say if it's her?
Tell her I'm going to the club.
Okay, me fix.
Come on, James, we'll go in the library.
Yeah. Now keep your pants on. Yes?
I've got to see Mr. Brixton.
Sorry, Mr. Brixton, no stay home.
Are you sure?
Mr. Brixton, go out.
Well, do you know where I can get in touch with him? This is terribly important.
Me not know. Who you?
Never mind who I am. When do you expect him back?
Don't know. He come in later, maybe.
Then I'll come in and wait. I can't go back there. Let me in.
No. You no come in.
Let me in, I say.
Oh, no. You go away. We don't know you.
Let me by. I've got to see Jonathan Brixton.
What kind of hell is that to you, anyway?
Now you can close the door.
No, no, you go out.
I'm going to stay right here.
Here, here. What's all the commotion in here?
Young my tango, I see you.
All right, Fong. I understand. Close the door. I'll take care of her.
Some women knocking by the trap.
Now, madam, what's the trouble?
Oh, I'm sorry, but I just had to see Jonathan Brixton.
He's off to you long time.
All right, Fong, you may go. I'll take care of him. Come on in, James.
Well, what is it? Do you know who this is?
No, not yet. Now, madam, suppose you give an explanation for this intrusion.
Oh, I know it seems... it seems awful, but something terrible has happened. I had to see Mr. Brixton. Are you Jonathan Brixton?
Yes. Now, what's your trouble?
Well, it's Charles. He...
Well, I'm sorry, but I don't know any Charles. Now, will you leave, or shall I call the police?
Oh, no police. I'll get a hold of myself in a minute.
Very well. I'll give you exactly 1 minute. You can't give a satisfactory explanation in that time. I... Well, after all, this is a bit unusual.
I know. I'm sorry.
Here, sit down. There you are. Now, take a moment to compose yourself.
Is she up to some sort of game, do you think?
Well, if she is, she's a very good actress, if I might add... A very attractive one.
I know, but I'd be awfully careful, Mr. Brixton. You know, there are plenty of people who'd like to get something on you.
I'm not trying to get anything on anybody, as you put it.
Now, James, that will teach you to talk about people. Now, madam, you sound as if you'd be able to talk. Shall we...
Yes, but I prefer to be alone with you.
Well, that's very charming of you, I'm sure, but I long ago made it a rule never to be alone with a beautiful woman whom I didn't know. Very unromantic, I know, but it's my legal training overcoming my... James will stay. Besides, he's my assistant, and I can assure you that anything you say will not go further. Now, you mentioned something about a Charles.
Yes.
You'll have to stop that if you expect Mr. Brixton to do anything for you.
James is a very practical man, my dear. Oh, you haven't been formally introduced. You are Miss... it is Miss, I presume?
Yes. Haynes. Iris Haynes.
Uh-huh. Haynes, Mr. Lowry. And now that we're a cozy little group, let's hear what you have to say.
It's about Charles. He's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was he a relative?
No. We were going to be married next week.
Oh, what a shame, but I'm at a loss to see just where all this concerns me, other than a natural sympathy for the loss.
Charles was murdered.
What? Murdered when?
Tonight. I just found him. I came right over here.
Wait a minute. What was his name? Charles what?
Grant. Charles Stewart Grant.
That's the one. That's the fellow who came into the office this afternoon. You know, the one you talked to on the phone.
Good heavens. So it did happen.
Oh, this is terrible.
You say you just found him?
Yes.
Where?
At his apartment.
How do you know he was murdered?
Because... Oh, it's too awful.
Of course, but there's no time to think of that. How do you know he was murdered?
Well, there was blood everywhere in the hall. I think he was stabbed.
You found him in the hall at his apartment?
Yes.
How did you happen to go there?
What do you mean? We were engaged.
No, I mean, what brought you there tonight?
He asked me to meet him at his apartment at 8 o'clock. He said he had some important things to discuss with me.
When did he ask you?
He called me on the phone about 5 o'clock. He said he had just been to your office, but wasn't able to see you. He was in a terrible state. I was worried.
Why?
Because of what he said.
And what did he say?
He said he was afraid something might happen to him. But he was making sure that if it did, I'd be taken care of.
Oh. Was he a wealthy man?
Fairly. In fact, very well off.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
He said he didn't know how or where this might happen, but if it did, I should protect myself.
Protect yourself? I don't understand.
I don't either. Except that he said his will and other things might throw suspicion on me. The last thing he said was, remember, darling. Remember, darling. If anything happens to me, go immediately to Jonathan Brixton.
Yeah.
And then he repeated it and said I was to say nothing to anybody until I came to you first. And then he gave me your address and told me to meet him at his apartment at 8 o'clock tonight.
What happened when you arrived at the apartment?
I walked up the stairs to his door.
Just a moment. Is this a big apartment house?
No. It really isn't an apartment. It's a flat. He had the upper one.
And the lower?
It's vacant. I knocked on the door and there was no answer. I waited and I knocked again. And when he didn't come, I opened the door with my key.
Oh, he'd given you a key.
Yes. Mm. You see, he had a Filipino cook, but last week Valoria went into the army and Charles hasn't been able to get anyone else. So I've been going over to straighten the place up each day. And that's why he gave me a key.
Oh, I see. So you opened the door?
I opened the door and there in the hall. Lying there in the hall.
Yes, go on.
He was lying stretched out in the hall. There was blood everywhere. I looked and I could see he was dead.
And then you came over here.
Yes, I think I must have sort of fainted. Because the next thing I remember, I was driving near to your house. And that's all I know.
And nobody knows anything about this?
No. I did what Charles said. I came to you. What should I do now?
Well, obviously, we'll have to inform the police. The fact that you didn't do that immediately won't be in your favor.
But I...
Yes, I know, but there's been a murder.
Oh, what should I do? Oh, will you help me, please?
Look at me. That's it. Now, young lady, I want you to answer me truthfully. As God is your judge, did you kill that man?
No. I swear it. I loved him.
James, everything seems to bear out her story, all right? Tall fellow, isn't he?
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it? Stabbed in the neck. Let's get out of here. I'm beginning to feel a little sick.
Yes, it isn't pleasant, but we can't leave till I get that phone call from Steve at the paper.
Oh, that's right. You left his number, didn't you?
Yes, he said he'd call right back.
I hope we get out of here before the police arrive.
Well, we've done nothing but look, James. We haven't touched the body or disturbed the thing.
Do you think she did it?
Iris?
Yes. If she did, you let her go. She could be out of town by now. Then we would be in a mess.
Why, not at all. I told the DA all about her, that she could be found at her apartment, that the body was here. I think I've done him a signal service.
Yes, but if she did this, she might not have stayed at her apartment.
Well, in that case, we'll never trust another woman.
When you're pretty, you're inclined to be a little gullible, you know.
Then you think she killed this man, huh?
Well, I mean, who else could have?
Oh, that's my call. I'll get it. Hello. Yes, Steve. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. What was that name again? No, the other one. Muriel Butler. Mm-hmm. That's fine. Thank you very much. And I'll let you know if anything new develops. Only don't let any of the other papers know where you got your information. Yes, I like staying good with the press, you know. Yeah, right. Goodbye. Let's see.
Did you get anything for me?
Yes, they had a file on our friend Grant. Seems he was somewhat of a playboy and got some publicity a while back. B.U. Butler.
What are you doing?
Seeing if there's a listing here in this phone book. Oh, here we are. Write this down, James. 784 Green Street. You got it?
Yes, sir. Now can we go?
Yes, now we can go.
Good. I've got to get home. I promised my wife I'd be there right after dinner, and it's getting late.
I'm afraid your wife will have to wait. We're going to pay a call on Muriel Butler.
Oh, dear.
That should be the house right there. Switch off the lights and pull over, James.
I still don't see where this is getting us anyway.
I just want to have a look at this Muriel. You stay here. If I'm not out in 5 minutes, come a running. I may be in trouble.
Well, this is kind of a lonely neighborhood. I don't know.
Why, James, you're not frightened, are you?
Certainly not, but I don't...
Oh, good. I won't be long.
Yes?
I'm awfully sorry to bother you at this hour, but my car is stalled. I wonder if I could use your phone.
Well,
I know it's a dreadful imposition. I hope I didn't wake you.
No, I wasn't in bed.
Oh, I'm glad. Oh, I see you have the phone right there in the hall. Do you mind?
All right. Come in.
Thank you. It's quite cold out.
There's the phone.
Yes, thank you. I thought I'd call a friend of mine to come and pick me up. Might be here all night if I waited for a garage. And these days, taxis simply won't answer a call. Funny. Wonder why he doesn't answer. I know he's home.
Probably asleep. It's late.
Oh, no. He's a night owl. I haven't my spectacles. I might have dialed the wrong number. Would you mind dialing it for me? I seem to be causing you no end of trouble.
All right, I'll dial it. What's the number?
GR... 19-35. Five? You didn't dial the five.
Who are you?
I don't understand. Why did you stop dialing?
I said, who are you and what do you want here?
Why, I explained all that. I was simply calling a friend.
What? What's his name?
Grant. Charles Stewart Grant. Do you know him?
Are you the one who's been threatening to kill him?
No. No, you see, that job's already been done. James, this is our final call for the night, and then you can go home to your charming wife.
She'll be divorcing me if this happens any more times.
No, blame it all to me. Ah, here we are. Apartment 206, Miss Iris Haynes. It's a musical name, isn't it? Iris Haynes.
Oh, it's you, Mr. Brixton. Come in.
Oh, thank you. After you, James.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been gone so long, I was beginning to get worried.
Well, we had lots to do. You haven't had a call from the police yet?
No. Oh, surely they won't think I did it, will they?
Oh, my dear, what the police may think is anybody's guess, but you must understand that you'll have to put up with a good deal before this is over.
Oh, yes, I suppose so.
Yes. There are a few things I'd like to get straightened out.
Yes, anything I can do to help.
Mr. Grant was apparently living in constant fear. What reason did he have to feel that he was to be killed?
Why, threats. In the past month, he's received a dozen or more letters saying that he'd be killed.
Oh? All anonymous, I presume. Otherwise, we'd know who did it.
Oh, yes. They were typewritten letters.
I see. Well, of course, it is possible to trace a typewriter, but it isn't easy. What was the reason for the threats?
I think I have one of the letters here. Charles used to show them to me, and I think I kept one of them.
Yes, I'd like to see it.
It's in here. I'll be right back.
You'd think you would have sent them all over to the police.
Yes, you would.
What are you looking at?
Oh, nothing, nothing. I was wondering why there's tobacco on the floor when there seems to be plenty
of...
There
you are.
Oh, thank you.
Why didn't Mr. Grant turn all the letters over to the police?
He did. Most of them. But the police thought it was just the work of some crank. At any rate, they didn't do much about it. And now he's dead.
Judging from this letter, I'd guess that Grant was something of a ladies' man. Says, you ruined my girl, and I'm going to get you for it. Killing is too good for rats like you. To what girl does this refer, do you know?
No. Charles didn't know either.
You mean it could be true?
I'm afraid so. Before he met me, he was a bit wild.
And it might refer to one of several girls. Is that it?
Well, possibly, yes. I know there was one named Muriel Butler, but he wasn't sure it was her.
But there was enough clues in it to cause him to be alarmed, I see. I also noticed, Miss Letter, some... you don't roll your own cigarettes, do you?
No. Did you want a cigarette? There are plenty there. Who can that be?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's the law.
Iris Haynes?
Yes?
Detective Bureau of Homicide.
Oh, hello, Gannon. Come in.
Well, how are you, Mr. Brixton?
Well, you know James, my assistant.
Yeah, how are you?
Oh, fine.
Well, Mr. Brixton, you got in on this case pretty early, didn't you?
Oh, I'm not really in on it, Inspector. Rather in the role of a curious onlooker, you might say.
Well, the DA said you'd given him a call. Thought you might be up to some trick.
Why, how ungrateful. Here I've spent the night solving a murder for him, and he suspects me of tricks.
Solving it? What do you mean?
Just that. But before she gets away, you'd better put some bracelets on our lovely young friend, yeah?
Mr. Brixton. You mean Iris Haynes?
Yes, Jay.
Are you crazy?
Take it easy, sissy.
But you told me that a tall man stabbed Grant, that only someone taller than Grant could have done it.
Yes, quite true.
Then what are you talking about? I'm inches shorter than Grant.
Yes, my dear, you didn't wield a knife, but you were an accessory to murder. And if I remember my law correctly, an accessory in this state is a principal. So you'll probably suffer the same fate as the man who did the stabbing.
And who might that be?
I don't know yet. But I found out enough tonight so that I think our friend the inspector here will have him in tow by tomorrow.
Well, that's a hot one, Mr. Brixton. A defense attorney doing himself out of a case.
Hola. Here, you wake up. Mr. Brixton.
What time is it?
So him get late. You get up. You go office this morning.
Oh, but I got to bed so late, I don't think I can possibly get...
Yeah. He bring a black coffee. You drink this.
Hot, but very good, Fong.
You sent a woman to jail last night, huh?
Yes, I'm afraid our little Iris is in bad trouble. Fong, I'm quite a detective, I've discovered. Would you like to hear how I tracked down the murderer? It was a beautiful deduction.
You drink a coffee?
I am drinking it. I want you to listen to how I cleared up this murder case.
You told me last night when you come home.
But I only told you up to the point where we arrested Iris.
Me get sleepy.
Well, you're not sleepy now. Listen, fascinating.
What you want for breakfast?
Never mind the breakfast now. Listen. You see, the minute I saw that cigarette tobacco on the floor, I was convinced Iris had some part in that murder. Why? Because she obviously did not roll her own cigarettes. And the dead man didn't, because there were plenty of cigarettes in his apartment and no evidence of his having rolled them. So, someone had been in Iris's apartment who rolled cigarettes. Who? And then, wonder of wonders, out she comes with the threat letter, and in it was a bit of cigarette tobacco, the kind you roll. Now, what does that mean?
It's a fresh melon for breakfast?
No, no. It meant that the man who sent the threat letters had some connection with our Iris. And he must have been the man who did the killing. But why? Why did he kill Grant?
You want a sausage?
First, we had to identify him. Now, you'll recall Grant was a tall man. So the murderer must have been even taller from the way the knife was plunged into Grant's neck, huh?
Right, come on.
So now we had a tall man who rolled cigarettes. But who had seen such a man? Since he must have come to Iris's apartment, let's talk to the apartment manager. Why? Yes, she'd seen a tall man come there. She gave us a description. The call goes out to the police here and in neighboring cities, and he's picked up in San Jose, just boarding a train. He had a police record, and we had the murderer. How's that?
Okay, me fix your breakfast now.
Oh, wait now. That isn't all. Don't you want to hear the interesting part?
All right. But you tell me when you think.
Well, why did they conspire to kill Grant? First, she gets that gullible girl crazy man to fall in love with her, genuinely. Then the threat starts. He wants to marry her, but he fears for his life. She plays on his sympathy. What will happen to her if he's killed? Does he really love her? Why, he'll prove it. So he makes out a will, leaving her everything. And she gets him to work out the dodge to come to me, so she'll be above suspicion. And now that the will is made out, the sooner he's out of the way, the better. But why not marry him first, you might ask?
You don't ask him that.
Oh, I know. It's a rhetorical question. No, she can't marry him because she's already married to the man who did the killing. You see? And I had to work fast because their past might catch up with them. And there you have it.
And me go fix him.
No. Wait. Why did I eliminate Muriel Butler as a possible suspect? In the first place, she was genuinely surprised and really hurt to learn Grant was dead. And remember this, Fong. She never would have stopped dialing that number if she'd had anything to do with the murder. She would have wanted me to believe that she thought Grant was still alive. Huh? And so, the mystery is solved. What do you think of that?
Me no like a mystery.
Thank you.
Supporting Michael Raffetto as Jonathan Brixton are Barton Yarborough as James, Forrest Lewis as Song, Lois Austin as Miss Matthews. In this episode, Iris was played by Isabel Jewell, Muriel by Josephine Gilbert, the inspector by Norman Field. Milton Charles is at the console. On behalf of CNF Radio Productions, this is Marvin Miller thanking you for hearing our presentation of Attorney for Defense.